greater is He who is declared tonight. The greater one is in us. Yes. He is leading us. Yes. He is guiding us. Right. He is empowering us. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this gathering of your people tonight. I thank you for each and every person that is here tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that, Lord, we have assembled together in your name. And you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there in the midst of them. So you're here.
Yes.
Jesus, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge you are our Lord and our Savior. You're the Lord and head of the church. You're our great shepherd, and you are here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are here to sustain, to strengthen, to heal, to enlighten us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you tonight. We pray, Father, I pray that not one of us would leave untouched by your power. In Jesus' name, thank you that we're being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Good to see you out tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we're starting a series called Having Faith in the Last Days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Or that doesn't mean we're talking about putting our faith in the last days, but it means we're talking about operating in faith, living by faith in the last days. Amen.
Yes.
So we're going to start in Luke chapter 18. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily."
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He's not, our Heavenly Father is not an unjust judge.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
He's going to avenge us speedily.
Yes.
His own elect, it says, he will avenge them speedily. In other words, he will get justice for us, for his people, and he'll do it speedily.
Right.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And that's what I want to focus on tonight, that last statement that Jesus made. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Praise God. You know, he is coming again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's our blessed hope. Amen.
Yes.
That's the blessed hope of the church. Paul wrote in Titus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So he is coming again. Amen.
Yes.
He said he was coming again. Amen. The angels, when at his ascension, when he ascended into heaven and his disciples were with him there on the Mount of Olives as he ascended into heaven, the angels came down and they said, "Men of Israel, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who you saw go into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go."
That's right.
The angels said he was coming back. He said he was coming back.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
And when he comes back, he's going to be looking for faith. He's going to be looking for faith. So let's look at that then. So again, our subject here is faith, having faith in the last days. So as we see the events of the last days unfold before us, then the primary thing that we need to be concerned about is the identity of the Antichrist.
No.
The primary thing we need to be concerned about is all the bad things that are happening and how we can be offended by them.
No.
No. The primary thing we need to be concerned about is operating in faith.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Jesus comes back, that's what he's going to be looking for.
Amen.
Amen? He's going to be looking for faith. And the first thing that we're going to look at in that is faith to pray. Faith to pray. That's really what this parable is about. It's this parable and this exhortation that Jesus gave. It's about not giving up in prayer, isn't it? Amen? But having faith to continue to pray. Amen. And so as we move into the last days, and we need to make sure that we have faith to pray, that we're not giving up on our prayer life. Amen. What causes people to stop praying? Did you ever think about that? I think we can examine it and look at some things. When, number one, when we don't see results. When we don't see results. If we are praying and we don't see results, and we have a tendency in our flesh to get discouraged and to say, oh, well, what good does it do? What good does it do? Secondly, when we get our eyes on problems instead of God. It's easy to do that, isn't it? To get our eyes on the problems rather than on God. There'll always be problems and there'll always be situations to pray about.
Yes, there will.
Right? And you can get overwhelmed in that and throw up your hands and want to quit and say, well, it's just too much, there's too many problems and all, and get overwhelmed in that. But that's a result, and that's a symptom of getting our eyes on the problem instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord. Amen. And on His purposes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I've heard twice now from two very different sources, one of them Roy Clevenger and the other one Mark Mobley. Amen. Saying the same thing, but they did. They said, I hadn't told Roy, that would maybe encourage him to know, hey, you're on the same track with the great Mark Mobley. Amen. But they both said, it's so easy to get our focus on urgent things and neglect the important things. And Mark put that on Facebook today. Roy said that to me in a text message this last week. We were talking about something. And so, but that's true. We can get our eyes on urgent things or emergencies or catastrophes or what we deem a crisis or what the news media tries to tell us is a crisis. You know, they try to manufacture crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Get some more clicks. It sells them more advertising.
Yep. Yep.
You know, the newscast, they don't report on all the good things that are happening, do they? Why? Because that's people get bored with that. Oh, well, that's nice that happened. That, you know, that it's always some crisis, right? Well, so if we get our eyes on the crisis, if we get our eyes on the problems and the catastrophes, and get our focus off of God and His plan and His word, then we're going to lose our courage to pray.
Oh, yeah.
But we can't do that. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Another thing when we stop hearing the word, that brings faith to our heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Proverbs, it says this. It says, a person who turns away his ear from hearing the law or hearing the word, it says, even his prayer is an abomination. Think about that. When we turn it, why is that? Well, because you're not praying the word. The most effective, the best prayer that we can pray is when we pray God's word back to Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
No matter the circumstance, no matter the time, God's promises to those who pray are unchanging.
Amen.
No matter who's in office,
that's right.
No matter what's going on, God doesn't change God's word.
Amen.
It doesn't change God's promises. Amen. To people who pray. And He's made some wonderful promises to those who will pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So when Jesus comes back, let Him find you in faith.
Yes, amen.
In faith praying, in faith acting. Amen. On the Word of God. Praise God. Look at this scripture, 1 Peter 4:7, and this is in God's Word translation. It says, the end of everything is near. Therefore, practice self-control and keep your minds clear. Why, Peter? So that you can pray. Peter said the end of everything is near, so the number one thing you've got to do is to keep yourself from being distracted, practice self-control, keep your mind clear so that you can pray.
Yeah.
Amen? Why? Because Jesus is going to be looking for that when you come back. Amen.
Yeah.
So we need to be praying in the last days.
Amen.
Certainly at all times, Christians should pray. Paul says, you know, to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. But especially in the last days, he says, the end of everything is near. Okay, now that I know that, if I know the end of everything is near, if I'm living in the last days, what should I be doing, Peter? You need to keep your mind clear. You need to keep from being distracted so that you can pray.
Wow, that's good.
So that you can pray. Amen. So what do we need to be praying for in the last days? Well, let's look at that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7. He says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So James is talking about the last days too, isn't he? Because
yes.
He says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. So we are to wait in faith for the precious fruit of the earth, which is what? We know that's the harvest of souls, isn't it? That's what God is interested in. That's what the Lord is interested in. Anything to do with the nations, anything to do with the government, anything where God is concerned there, it's all about the harvest. Think about what he told us when he told us in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for kings and all those in authority. Why? He says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The bottom line of praying for those in authority is so that people can be saved. It's so the harvest can be gathered in. Amen? That's what God is looking for. He's looking for the precious fruit of the earth. And he's waiting for it until it receives something. That harvest, James is using a natural occurrence to illustrate a spiritual truth. And that natural occurrence is, in their day, of course, most of the people earned their living by farming. All right. And he says the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for that harvest. He's waiting for that crop. And he's dependent on something happening. He's dependent upon the two seasons of rain, the early and the latter rain. The early rain was to prepare the ground for planting. And the latter rain came after the crop had been planted and to bring it to maturity, to bring it to harvest. He's waiting for the early, waiting patiently for it till it received the early and the latter rain. Amen. All right. And so we are to wait in faith for the early and the latter rain, which is, spiritually speaking, then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right. So the analogy is this: the precious fruit of the earth is souls. Our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, he's the farmer. All right. And then he's waiting for this rain, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, James continues in chapter 5 here as we skip down to verse 16. He says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Notice that a man prayed, heaven gave rain, earth produced fruit. In other words, there was a harvest. There was a harvest. So the spiritual analogy is here he said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So James is encouraging us and telling us, look, the Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he's waiting for the rain, and he's waiting for you to pray for the rain. He's waiting for you, and you're, you know, Elijah was no one great. He was a man with a nature like ours. If Elijah can pray for rain, you can pray for rain. And the rain we're talking about, and the rain that James is talking about, is a spiritual rain.
Yes.
He prayed again. Heaven gave rain. The earth produced its fruit. In other words, there was a harvest. The harvest of souls came as a result of the rain. So we should be praying for the rain. As we move into the last days, as we operate in faith, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? Will he find us praying in faith for the rain? Amen? Well, he tells us in Zechariah 10 and verse 1, he says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Well, when is the time of the latter rain? It's the last days. James told us it's the last days. So is it the time of the latter rain now? Yeah, it's time for it. Well, if it's time for it, I mean, God will just send it, right? I mean, automatic, right? I mean, he's sovereign. God will just send it. Well, Zechariah says, no, you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. James told us we had to ask for it. Amen? So ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Praise God. So talking about Elijah, let's go back and look at what he did. Let's go back and look at how he prayed for the rain. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Praise God. So Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain. I don't know that Ahab heard it. I don't know that anybody else heard it, but Elijah heard it. Amen? And it's like us today when we get in the Spirit and we just know, we hear, okay, God is wanting to do great things. God is great, you know, it may not look like it in the natural, but when we get in the Spirit, when we get in faith, we touch that and we say, oh yes, God wants to pour out His Spirit. God wants to do great things. Amen. Praise God. So he said, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah could hear that. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And I went there. I went to Mount Carmel when I went to Israel in November of 2019. Then he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. What was he doing? He was praying. Because we know he was praying. It doesn't say praying here, but we know he was because James said he did. We just read where James said Elijah prayed again and heaven gave rain. All right, so look at this. So he went up and so he put his face between his knees, verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So it's a sunny day, it's a clear sky, there's not a cloud in the sky, but Elijah hears the sound of abundance of rain. Nothing in the natural looks like there's going to be an abundance of rain, but Elijah hears the sound of abundance of rain on the inside of him. And so he goes down and he bows down on the ground, he puts his face between his knees, and then he tells his servant, go and see if there's anything happening. So he went up and looked and he said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So what's Elijah doing? Elijah is persisting. That's what this message started out with. In Luke 18, the widow came to the unjust judge and said, give me justice from my adversary. And he would not, but she continued to come. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. And finally he said, all right, all right, all right. Enough already. She wore him out by her continual coming, it said. So Elijah is praying for the rain, and there's no sign of rain. He hears it on the inside, but there's no sign of it. And so he tells his servant, go again. And he comes back and he says, there's nothing. Well, go again. And he goes and comes back and he says, there's seven times he says, go again. And then it came to pass, verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time. What if Elijah had stopped praying after six times? What if Elijah had stopped and said, oh, well, I guess I must have missed it. I guess I didn't hear God after all. Huh? Amen. No, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He persisted. He persisted. And that's what Jesus said, I'm looking for when I come back. I'm looking for faith like that.
Amen.
I'm looking for people that are just going to stick with it and continue to pray.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Then it came to pass, verse 44, the seventh time that he said, well, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And Elijah said, that's it. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. While Elijah is saying that, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with cloud. Did you ever, on a summer afternoon, when the sky just becomes black with clouds and wind, and you know it's sure enough fixing to rain, all right? And here it comes, just a deluge and a downpour. Now, it happened in the meantime, the sky, it went from nothing. Seven times there was nothing. It went from that, oh, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand, to the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Hallelujah. A heavy rain.
Amen.
Praise God. And James told us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed this way, and heaven gave rain, and earth produced its fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Luke 18:8 in the Amplified. Jesus said, I tell you, he, God, will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find, notice this, will he find what? What's the next word?
Persistence.
Persistence. Will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Amen? So we have to persist in our faith. Amen?
Amen.
We have to persist. We can't quit. Amen?
Right.
Praise God. Well, what else are we praying for in the last days? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And boy, that takes on a whole new meaning tonight after hearing Kim Clout's message on Sunday, doesn't it? That was so powerful. Praise God. Jesus was moved with compassion for the people, the multitudes, because they were sheep without a shepherd.
Yep.
All right? They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What's the Lord waiting for? What did James tell us the Lord was waiting for? He's waiting for the harvest, yeah? The Lord is waiting for the harvest, James says. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. But for that harvest to be gathered in, number one, it has to have rain. There has to be rain so that there can be a harvest. But once the harvest comes to fruition, there have to be laborers to gather it in. So the second thing we need to be praying about in the last days, besides the rain, is we need to be praying for laborers in the harvest. Pray, verse 38, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, again, someone would say, well, it's his harvest. Why doesn't he just send laborers? Well, again, we have really not understood how much authority we have on this earth. You know, John Wesley said, Dad Hagin said, John Wesley said. I didn't hear John Wesley say it directly. Fred, did you know John Wesley? Okay. Hallelujah. All right. I didn't hear John Wesley say it directly, but I heard Dad Hagin say it. And he didn't hear him say it directly either. He read it in one of his books. But he said, John Wesley said, it seems that God is limited by our prayer life. It seems that God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Amen. So we have to ask him. Amen. And so even though it's his harvest, then he still depends on us to ask him to send laborers into his harvest. Jesus, this is something directly, specifically, that Jesus told us to pray. We pray about a lot of things, and it's not wrong to do so, But I think first and foremost, we ought to hit the things Jesus told us to pray for. Don't you agree? Jesus said directly, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Amen. So we have to ask him to send laborers. Amen. So don't give up. Don't give up praying about these things. Amen. Stay in faith. Jesus is coming back and he's going to reward faith. He's going to be looking for faith. Amen. And he wants us to be in praying in faith. And he wants us to be praying about his agenda. He doesn't mind you asking him about your agenda and about your family and about your needs. Absolutely, we're to pray about those things. But let's pray about his agenda.
Amen.
Let's embrace his agenda. Let's pray for the rain. And let's pray for laborers. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why? Because God's interested in the harvest coming in.
Amen.
He's interested in people getting saved.
Yes.
Amen? Because he sees eternity. You know, he is constantly confronted with the reality of eternity, of heaven and hell.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And we try to push that from our minds. But that's he lives there. He lives in that realm.
Oh, yeah.
And he sees the seriousness of it.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He sees the importance of it. He sees the reality of it.
That's right.
The eternal destiny of human beings hanging in the balance.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So the second area that we want to have faith in the last days is faith to live by the Word. Faith to live by the Word of God. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. In the margin of my Bible where it says perilous times, it says this, literally it means times of stress. In the last days, times of stress will come. Well, my goodness, we are certainly seeing that, aren't we? Isn't it interesting? Haven't you noticed? The older I get, the more nostalgic I get. And I told them at prayer school this morning, I said, really, the only thing that I'm watching on TV now, I don't watch any news, I just watch the Andy Griffith Show. And maybe All in the Family. You know, I watched an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show the other day. Why? I don't know. I mean, I like stuff like that. Why? Because it harkens back to a much more simpler time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a less stressful time. It seems like with more conveniences and more technology and all of that, it's also produced more stress. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But glory to God, we can live, and if we walk in faith and live by faith, we can live stress-free.
That's right.
We can give up worry.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We can give up worry. Praise God. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times or times of stress will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. He says, in the last days, this is going to be happening. There's going to be a flood of it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be the tendency for us to get caught up in that and just get swept away in this flood of ungodliness and all of this going on that he lists here in these perilous times that are the last days. All right. And so then he goes down to verse 10. He says, but you, amen.
Yeah.
Who's he talking to?
Me.
He's talking to you and me. Amen. He's not just talking to Timothy. He's talking to the believer.
That's right.
He's talking to the child of God.
Amen.
He's talking to the Christian.
Yeah.
But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life,
hallelujah,
purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, again he contrasts it. He contrasts what he says before verse 10 with all the everything going on, the perilous times, and then he looks at Timothy, he looks at the believer, and he says, But you. You've carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, and all these things. And then he says, evil men and imposters are going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In verse 14, but you, you what? You must continue in the things which you have learned. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from what things is he talking about? Well, he tells us in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we know that salvation doesn't, that's not just when I die and go to heaven. That's not what Paul's talking about when he's talking about salvation here. He says, with all this going on in the world, with all this happening and unfolding in the last days, evil men and imposters growing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and perilous times and all that. But you remember what you've learned. Remember that you've learned the Holy Scriptures, and these Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. Yes. The word salvation is all-inclusive. It means deliverance. It means preservation. It means prosperity. It means protection. It means healing. Hallelujah. Amen. For salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. So he talks about, again, back in verse 13, he talks about people, evil men and imposters growing worse and worse, deceiving. The King James for imposters says seducers, all right? Deceiving and being deceived. So he tells us that deception will be rampant in the last days. And we know that's true. We know that, think about who in their right mind would follow the Antichrist. Right. Who in their right mind would give him power? Right. Who in their right mind would pledge allegiance to him? There's going to be such a strong delusion and such a strong deception. Right. And you look at how deceived that some people are today. And it becomes very clear, yes, this can happen. Yes, people can follow someone like the Antichrist because of the darkness and deception that we see people operating under today. Amen? So what keeps us from deception? The Word of God. The Word of God will keep you from being deceived. If you and I will continue to follow the Word of God, we won't be deceived. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Scripture, the Word of God, has been given to us to keep us from being deceived. Amen? So we have to keep our faith in the written Word of God. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in the earth? Will He find us praying? And will He find us holding fast to the Word of God? Amen? Not watering it down? Amen? Praise God. You know, there's already, Of course, that's in every generation to some degree, but we see it more so, I think, in our generation, a pushback to say, oh, no, you can't. There's certain scriptures you can't talk about, certain things you can't believe, certain things. No, we have to believe it all.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. We have to hold fast to it all. Amen. And this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we'll follow the Word of God, it'll keep us from being deceived. Amen. Praise God. Satan always tries to undermine and challenge that at the very beginning. You know, did God really say? That's what he said to Eve. Did God really say? And he tries that. The way he deceives in every generation. Tries to get us to question the Word of God.
Yep.
Amen?
That's right.
Praise God. But we're going to hold fast to the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
We're going to continue in the things that we've learned and been assured of. Amen?
Yeah.
God's Word works
in
every generation, in every time. Amen?
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Well, would you pray a few minutes with me?
Sure.
Let's pray about these two things. Let's pray about the rain. Amen? Let's pray about the rain, and let's pray for laborers. Hallelujah. You know, I remember back in the early 80s that Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin, started a prayer meeting there at Rhema. And he said, we're going to pray. And this is when the Soviet Union was still intact, and there was the Iron Curtain was still up. There was still the oppressive, repressive regimes of communism in Europe, and so Brother Hagin said, "We're gonna pray about this, and we're gonna pray." He said, and he found these scriptures in James where he said, "You know, the Lord is He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, not just the precious fruit of North America, but the precious fruit of the earth." He said, "Before Jesus comes back, there's gonna have to be a harvest in these nations that are under communism now." There's going to have to be a revival. There's going to have to be a harvest in the Soviet Union and in all these nations. And he says there's going to have to be a harvest in China. Amen.
Yes.
Well, praise God. They started praying back in the 80s, and they specifically focused on those communist nations in Europe, the Soviet Union and the communist bloc nations there. And it wasn't long till the Iron Curtain came down. Remember watching on TV when they tore down the Berlin Wall? Remember that? And Germany, there was East Germany. I remember as a kid watching the Olympics, and there was East Germany and West Germany, different nations, but now there's one Germany. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Communism came down, and there was a great harvest of souls. Millions. Tens of millions of people have been saved as a result of that, of communism coming down.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, what did they pray for? He said they started praying for the rain.
Amen.
They started praying for the rain.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Well, the bamboo curtain needs to come down now.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And this attack that China has made against our country,
right,
is going to backfire on them.
That's
and the result is that the Chinese Communist Party is going to come down.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
so, Father,
you, Lord.
We come before you tonight in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And we pray for the rain. Father, your word says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed, and heaven gave rain, and earth produced its fruit. And, Father, your word says that you're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Lord, you don't desire for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance, for all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there are people in many parts of the world that have been blocked from hearing the truth and finding out about your love for them through Jesus Christ. And even in our own nation, Lord, there are many that have never heard. The enemy has blinded them. Satan has blinded them from hearing and from seeing. So, Lord, we're asking you for the rain in the name of Jesus. We're asking you tonight for the rain. Lord, your word says that you're waiting for that precious fruit of the earth, and you're waiting till it receive the early and the latter rain. And, Lord, you told us in your word to ask you. You said specifically in Zechariah 10, ask the Lord for rain. in the time of the latter rain. So, Father, right now we ask you for the rain. We ask you for the rain in the name of Jesus. We ask you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus on this nation and on the nations of the earth that are where it's been barren and where it's been dry and where people are crying out to know you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the rain in China. Thank you, Father, that the bamboo curtain will fall, that the Chinese Communist Party will fall. And we thank you, Lord, for the rain being poured out in China, for a great harvest of souls there, in the name of Jesus, for a great harvest of souls in this nation, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Send your rain, Lord. Send your rain, Lord. Send your rain, Lord. Send your rain. In the name of Jesus, Lord, send your rain. Oh, Lord, send your rain. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your rain. Thank you for your rain. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, you also said, pray ye. Jesus, you said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. And so, Father, we pray tonight for laborers. Toko, solavakati barasa, solavokarababa shivakaya, rebodidi abramanda debrede. We pray, Father God, that you would send laborers into your harvest in the name of Jesus. We pray there'd be a great wave of laborers sent into the harvest. Lord, we remember the Azusa Street Revival and what a wave of laborers that was generated from that outpouring in the name of Jesus. Missionaries, there was the greatest thrust of missionary endeavor and effort that had ever happened came after that Azusa Street Revival and the gospel, the full gospel, the gospel of salvation and healing and deliverance was carried around the world. So, Father, we know there's to be even a greater thrust in this day. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Send laborers. Send laborers into your harvest, Father. Send laborers. Raise up laborers called and anointed. Send laborers into your harvest in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that your harvest will be gathered in. We thank you that it will be gathered in. The rain will be poured out. We thank you the harvest will come to maturity, and we thank you the laborers will gather it in the name of Jesus, and that your plan for the last days will be consummated in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that when you come back, you'll find faith on the earth. You'll find us standing in faith. You'll find us praying in faith. You'll find us walking in faith. You'll find us living by faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon America. And we thank you, Father, that your work and your will. We thank you that you've heard our prayers. And we thank you, Father, that your divine purpose for our nation cannot be stopped. And it cannot be aborted. And it cannot be thwarted. In Jesus' name, but it shall come to pass. It shall be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that the powers of darkness are restrained and they will not work their evil work in our nation. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for victory. Thank you for victory. Thank you for victory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Salalaboshe katande. Shedataga dadabadbarandanadi. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.